What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Serious Angler Podcast, powered by our friends over at X2 Power Batteries. I'm your host, Bailey Eichbrett, and today's episode is part two of this week's show that we had live on the Serious Angler Network YouTube channel. And we were originally joined for the first part by Bassmaster Elite Series rookies Kyle Patrick and Wesley Gore. If you have not listened to the episode, that is the one previous to this one. I encourage you guys to check that out. But on today's episode, Andy and I are joined by Trevor Lowe from Omnia Fishing, as well as Andrew Hayes from the Tackle Talk podcast for the part two of that live show. And we do a little fun game of fish it, box it, or trash it. We got into a lot of fun with this one, and these definitely are ones I think you guys seem to enjoy. If you have some ideas for some of these, by all means, DM us, email, whatever, comment down on YouTube or whichever. Whatever's easier for you guys, like when you guys are involved in these. But we had a great time. And before we get into that show, just a couple quick things for you guys is that X2 Power Batteries right now are heavily discounted. Of course, we have our discount code SeriousX2 that is you can use year-round. But right now, there's even up to $200 off of their lithium and AGM batteries. So make sure you guys get in on it while you can, while that's still running. Links down below to x2powerbattery.com. Make sure you guys take advantage of that. But as always, there's sales running over on Omnia Fishing. Make sure you guys go down below, click on the links, and use code Serious10. Make sure you save 10% off your order on Omnia Fishing. Now is the time to get involved in that, as well as get Premium Pro. $50 a year for some extremely beneficial map layers, as well as saving 10% back on all of your tackle orders. So if you spend $100, that's $10 free in tackle you get in addition to that. So make sure you guys check that out. Appreciate y'all. Let's get into today's episode.
We are back. We're joined by these bright and shining faces down here in the bottom left. We got your boy Andrew Hayes from Tackle Talk. You're rocking the Tackle Talk flag for tonight. And we got Mr. Trevor Lowe from Omnia. Trevor, is it not too good in the Lowe household right now?
Yeah, I was wondering if you guys could hear that. We're putting my daughter down right now, and she's not having it. So
she's fighting.
Yeah, I was texting my wife. I was like, "Yo, we can hear her on the podcast."
Yo,
get her back.
I don't want to be in the podcast. Come on.
Right.
Oh, man. Well, boys, thanks you guys for taking time out of your night to come join us here. We got a little game of fish it, box it, and trash it. That's gonna be fun. But real quick, let's catch up with you boys. Trevor, what you got going on in your neck of the woods?
Man, not a whole lot. It's warming up here. Lakes are thawing out. People have got fishing on the mind, but Minnesota DNR doesn't let us fish until May, at least in inland waters. So we're patiently waiting, and some of us are taking our boats across the border to go and catch fish in other states, but that's about it.
There's no like fishing mafia yet in Minnesota where you just pay off the DNR to let you guys go.
You know, I wish.
You only track like so many lakes, right? You guys have thousands, so I'm sure
we do. We have something like 12,000 and change, so I'm sure you could find a small little puddle in the middle of nowhere, but I don't know if you want to take those chances.
Is it hefty, like a fine or whatever, if you get caught?
I'd imagine it is. You know, here they say they can even confiscate, you know, boat, trailer, truck, anything that helped you to commit the crime. So,
dang, yeah, never mind.
Yeah, that's a could be a big price to pay for scratching the itch. So
yeah, well, you can go fish like the Mississippi and stuff, can't you?
Yeah, you can. And this year is actually not too bad because we didn't get too much snow, so not a ton of flooding, not a lot of snow melting off, and bringing, you know, big deadheads and big trees down the river. So, but water is going to be a little bit low this year. So. Who knows? I haven't fished the river in years, but I'd imagine there's still fish to be caught in them.
Yeah. Well, not to keep carrying on the Minnesota talk, but I saw recently Cade Loffenberg caught one almost 9 pounds, apparently.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're awake over there in the Midwest and they're eating.
Yeah. He's a little river rat. He knows that section of the river pretty good. So whether that's the river or if he was on the Wisconsin side, I'm not sure, but I definitely did see that fish too. It was a big one.
Pretty rowdy. Probably gonna be a nice tease for you guys getting ready to go fishing. Well, on the flip side, back in glorious Ohio, the mecca of bass fishing.
Oh. Land of all the 9-pounders are here. What are you talking about?
And you guys have that giant smallmouth, though, right? Oh, no, it was caught in Canada, technically.
No, you're screwed in Ohio, Andy.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm in the bad part of Ohio. I'm not like Lake Erie. Lake Erie is a whole different, that might as well be three states away. I'm down here in like, you know, redneck farm puddle, you know, polluted river land. It's awful.
The things, obviously I love your content, Andrew, but the things that make me laugh the most are your Dayton, Ohio stories of just the random weird stuff that you see while going to fish the river.
Oh yeah. Adult toys on the river, like every dead animal. And they found a body last week. Like there's a body every seems like month they find in the river. And
that's just,
it's not the, your tweakers and hobos that are along the entire thing. They're yelling Lord knows what at you the entire time. Like, yeah, it's an interesting escapade. I had a tweaker come up to me about maybe 3 weeks ago. I put my kayak in the water at like 4 or 5 in the morning, real early. And this dude just comes at me pitch black screaming. And it was like, it was probably the first time that I ever reached for my pew pew and was like, this is when it's happening. Like I'm going to have to pull it out this time. And then the guy got up and was just, he was harmless, but he was screaming. Like he had no idea what planet he was on. And I was just like, easy, bud. It's 4 or 5 in the morning. It's pitch black. Don't run up on people like that.
How dare you go fishing without me?
Yeah. And then the same guy, like 2 hours later, he's over there screaming, you know, as I was like, all right, man, see you later. And I go on the river. And then he comes back like an hour later and has like a 5-gallon bucket and like a cane pole. And he's trying to like dangle it into the river. And he's just talking to himself. He's like, man, just missed one. He's over there. He's like in like 2 inches of water. Just has no idea. Again, what planet he's on. That's what we do.
Straight up ugly stick commercial going on.
Yeah.
I love it. Before we get into the game here, boys, one thing I forgot to mention earlier on the show, the Indiana smallmouth state record was broken this past year, the 8.27.
Jeez.
That's pretty damn big.
It was a tank, too. Indiana. Yeah.
Was that fish caught on like an inland lake or was it out of, was Indiana touches Michigan, right? Like Lake Michigan and Erie.
So I don't know where Indiana he caught it. The Great
Lakes. Indiana definitely touches Erie and might touch Michigan too.
Was it near Toledo, if I'm getting that right?
I can find where he caught it at. Pending record, Rex Remington, Monroe Reservoir, wherever that's at. So let's look up Monroe Reservoir.
Wait, that sounds really familiar, actually. If it's up near the Michigan border, I've definitely fished it.
Yeah, don't mind me. It only touches Lake Michigan.
It is it's south of Indianapolis.
Okay.
It's near like Bloomington.
I think there's like a Pleasant Lake, I think it's called, northern Indiana that I've fished before. But yeah, Indiana's not your, like, even though you got your Jacob Wheeler and folks that are from that neck of woods, it's not a mecca for fishing.
No. Like there's some okay lakes around Indiana.
That's a pretty big lake, not gonna lie.
Yeah, it's one of the bigger ones, it looks like, in South Central.
Yeah.
What's the state record, if you know offhand, Andrew?
For us or for Indiana? Ours is like 13 pounds, I think, 12 or 13 pounds. Yeah, but it's one of those ones that was caught in like 1971, and there's no pictures of it, and it's like, it's one of those things. Or there, if there is a picture, I don't believe it, but it's like an old, you know, 60, 70-year-old record. No one's got even close since then. Some farm pond pet that somebody probably kept it in
the cantaloupe. Yeah.
But I know Mosquito Lake on the east side of Ohio does put out some big fish from time to time. So
yeah, we have some decent lakes that'll put out like eight and a half. Yeah, from time to time. Up there is great. Like if you go to the northeastern side of Ohio, there's Pima Tuning, there's Mogador, there's Pleasant Hill, I think, is up there. There's like 5 or 6 different big lakes up there that hold good largemouth. Yeah.
Is the state record Minnesota bass? Is that over 10?
No, we've got a baby compared to the rest of the world. Our state record's 8.15. So if you touch 9, that's a
okay. So then Cade definitely caught it in Wisconsin then, because it would have been a state record then technically.
Yeah. I don't know how that border water works. I would imagine so. If he said it was a 9, then yeah, that would have been a state record in Minnesota. So, and
Well, yeah, and technically, though, if it's out of season, you can't have tournaments, right? You can't even weigh it in. So it could have been a state record caught in Minnesota, but you can't do anything with it because it's.
Can you imagine that? Like, you're fishing illegally and you catch the state record, but you can't do anything about it?
Right. I mean, you hear stories about it all the time. There are guys that are, you know, they go out and crappie fish with a chatterbait and, you know, they're pulling in 6.5, 7 pounders, 7.5 pounders. And, you know, I'm sure somebody has pulled some big pre-spawn one up here. But to your point, you can't even get credit for it.
Yeah, ours is 13.13 from 1976. Roy Landsberger from a small pond in Northeast Ohio.
Shout out, Roy.
Shout out, Roy.
Are you guys allowed to have private water fish be qualified for state records? I know some states are like that where private water counts.
We can, yeah.
You can? Okay. That
makes sense. I'm not sure about here.
Yeah. It's all farm ponds is where like every record of ours has ever come from. Except for the smallmouth was caught on Erie by, was it Kevin Van Dam's, I don't know if it was his brother or I think it was his brother. Someone related to Kevin caught the Ohio record smallmouth on Erie.
I don't know how all that border stuff works, like on the lake itself. Right. It's got to be so confusing. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, that 10 was technically Canada, right, Andy?
Yeah, it was caught on the Canadian side. Just I don't know exactly where, but I'm assuming it's probably near Pelee Island area.
You're talking Grant's dad, right?
Yeah.
It's I can't imagine the look in the face when they saw that thing come up.
I think it was like 2005 or 2006. There was a Canadian tournament up here out of Buffalo that was held in Canada, and the guy caught one that was almost 10, I believe, in the tournament on the New York side, but because it was a Canadian tournament, they waded in over there. It would have blown the smallmouth state record away that was caught in New York waters, but weighed in a Canadian tournament.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's a big fish. All right.
Nuts.
Yeah. I feel like we could talk about this for ages, but the premise of tonight is the fish it, box it and trash it. So, just to kind of go over with you guys, but also people that are tuning in, is we're going to give you three different items. You can fish one, meaning that's like you're going to be your top choice. You can box it, meaning we want it, we're going to keep it for later. And trash it is the one you have to get rid of. So that really is what it comes down to. It's really
they're not all fishing related, right? Like
no, they're not all fishing related. There's definitely some fishing ones in here, but then there's some non-fishing ones too. So we're gonna have some fun with it. The fun part is definitely which one you're going to trash out of the three. but we'll start out fishing wise. Keep it straightforward. So the first one, you guys have any questions before we start rolling with this?
Nope.
All right. Let's roll.
All right. So the first one, you have the fire red jackhammer, a red lipless, or a red flat-sided crankbait. Which one are you going to fish, box, or trash? We'll start with you, Andrew.
Oh, man. I guess I'm trashing the flat-sided crank.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay. Of the three, I'd say, I don't know. I probably box the jackhammer and fish is the other one, right? Yeah. I'll probably fish the lipless. Yeah.
Okay.
Just like a red eye shad, man. That was growing up. That was what we just wrecked fish on was, you know, little lipless crankbaits and stuff like that. Now, yeah, I would say there's definitely a time and place for the flat sided crankbait, but it's not something I'm going to use all year long. So that's like a, I don't know, a very specialized time and place for me, but yeah, that's a tough one. I would say box the jackhammer, fish the lipless, trash the flat side.
All right. Trevor, what do you got?
I'm going to go a completely different route. I would say fish the jackhammer, box the flat sided crankbait, and then trash the lipless. Now, the reason being, I don't throw a lipless all that much, but you know, you can fish a lipless around riprap, you can fish it around grass, and I think you can do the same thing with a chatterbait. And with a chatterbait, I like the big stout hook. I don't have to worry about trebles. You know, I don't have to, you know, throw up like a moderate action rod or anything like that, I can really just jack them. Flat sided crankbait is going to be that cold water deal. In case it does get cold, I mean, you can catch them on a chatterbait too, but if you want something a little more subtle, then I think that's where that flat sided crankbait comes in play.
I love that you say that. This is why we're friends, Trevor. Even though it hurts Andrew's heart.
I know. Oh, I just feel like a lipless is so versatile. Like I can go almost any depth with it. I feel like my big issue with chatterbaits, obviously, is like, yeah, unless you want to throw some absolute giant 3/4 ounce chatterbait or something, like you're pretty limited in terms of the depth that you can fish that at. Where, you know, a lipless, I'm a little bit more free to do what I want with it. But yeah, I mean, if you ask most of the people around here, they're probably going to say fish the jackhammer. It's going to be the same thing that everybody else says too, because it's just, It's one of those things that doesn't seem like it's fallen off yet. Like I figured if you'd asked me 3, 4, 5 years ago, like you'd think that it would start to get a little less deadly. Like we saw that with ploppers around here. We saw that with all kinds of things that are really distinct where those fish start to get conditioned to something, but there's just something about a jackhammer that it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. The guy that won that Bassmaster kayak event at Murray, he won that by yo-yoing a 3/4 ounce jackhammer.
That's insane.
No live scope, no nothing. That was super cool. He was at the, when he was up on podium talking to, he's like, you don't need a motor, you don't need live scope, and you can win one of these things. I'm like, hell yeah, brother, in the back.
How deep was he fishing, do you know?
As I scoped the whole event myself. But like,
you do you.
Do you know how deep he was like, ripping it?
He was what?
Do you know how deep he was ripping it?
I want to say he was in the like 8 to 12-ish. I'll send you a link after that. He put out a whole video on his channel. It was pretty sick. Like I'm sitting there, I'm like, damn, he found a whole bite cool nobody bite. Else found. Yeah.
He's doing something that nobody else does.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing the same thing like with the that tactical DD crank. He was like, he would burn it and then pause it for like 5 seconds and then rip it again. He was catching big ones doing it. He wasn't catching a lot, but he was catching big ones. I'm like, damn. I just suck. All right. Andy, you're up.
All right. I am going to trash the red jackhammer. It's just up here where we're at. Everybody seems to throw it.
And hold on, guys. I got this. All right. Now we're good.
Yeah. All right. No, don't get me wrong. I love throwing chatterbaits and jackhammers. I just don't like red ones. So I'm going to trash the red one. And I'm going to fish the flat side crankbait. I think a Fritz side is absolutely deadly. And then I'm going to box a lipless because it's versatile. You can throw it all year, and if you're throwing a trap, in my opinion, it ought to be red. So yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, to be honest, I've lost like all faith in a red trap for whatever reason. I like only throw like a, if I do, it's like a green back or like a sexy shad, you know, something like that. Actually, my favorite color of a Strike King red eye shad is that chartreuse perch. That is one of my favorite
ones. Yeah.
See, I like the Rayburn red, the two tap one, because it's not like that screaming bright red. It's kind of more dulled down. So I think that's why it works well. Everyone's throwing blazing red traps. I'm like, all right, I'm going to hit you with the one knocker and a little bit of a more matte finish. And I think that's part of the reason why it gets bit a little bit better. But it's very situational.
Yeah, one of the colors that comes to mind when I'm talking throwing a trap is down in Florida, they're throwing that golden shiner color. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's you don't hear too much like sexy shad traps. It's always, you know, fire red, you know, fire tigers, that sort of stuff. But, yeah.
Unless you're Bailey. He likes shad colors.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I just can't get behind the red that much. I used to, but then I was like, I would have one rod with a red trap and one rod with like a perch or a shad. And I was just catching bigger ones in the shed. And ever since then, I'm like, yeah, screw that red crap. I'm just going to keep going.
That's why fishing is all confidence and we all have different answers, right? Like, it's awesome.
Yeah. And what I'll do when we go back here, because we're talking about a whole bunch of other baits, I'll link all these to Omni as well when we go back through after the show. So we'll have that down for you guys to be able to take advantage of. But all right, here's the next one for you. We'll keep going around the horn with Andrew, Trevor, then Andy. So you have your breakfast sandwiches on the way to the ramp, your boat snacks during the day, or the cold beer to end the day.
Okay. I'm going to fish the boat snacks for sure. Like, you're not making it through the whole day if you got nothing. I'm that guy that I'll go out in the summer and I'm like the guy that forgets to even pack like a water. And then you're, you know, out there for the first 7 hours and you're looking around. You're like, I'm about to drink the river water. Like, I can't. Why did I do this? Right, I do this every time. Right. You'd think I'd know by now that you have to bring like at least a drink and some snacks or something. So you got to have that. I would say you box the breakfast sandwich on the way. I'm very guilty of that. I'll stop at the Speedway or whatever and just be a complete gross human being at whatever I consume before I leave to go fishing. And then I'm going to trash I'm probably going to let that go. Like, if you'd asked me 5-6 years ago, that probably would have been the first one, but I don't know. Nowadays it's like, I don't do a whole lot of that so much anymore. I got it way out of my system when I was younger. And yeah, now it's like if you would have said the blue Powerade Zero on the way home. Yeah. The beer I can probably take without.
I think I'm biased in this four box right here because I'm the only one that's not a dad. So I think
that's also a thing. Yeah.
That is also a thing.
Just wait.
It's funny, like, the beers don't come out until the kids go to bed now because I like don't even drinking.
And by the time the kids go to bed, you're done. You're like, I don't even want to do this.
I'm gonna veg and just lay on the couch. You're like, I've been guilty to drink like half a beer and wake up like, oh crap. Like, she's gonna ask, what is this? It's
funny. What about you, Trevor?
I'm probably gonna be just a little bit different. I'd say I'm gonna fish the breakfast sandwich in the morning. That's kind of my go-to, especially when I'm driving up to like Mille Lacs, you know, stop, hit the gas station, grab some gas, grab some snacks. For the boat as well. So that's probably going to go in the box for the boat snacks. And then, I don't know what it is. You know, years ago, I used to love drinking IPAs and I still love IPAs, but man, I tell you what, I'll have one IPA and I'll just have a massive headache. You know, and I just don't know if I don't have the tolerance for it anymore, but
you're getting old.
Yeah. And so I could probably go without the beer. You know, to Andrew's point, just give me something like a Gatorade or a Powerade or something like that, and I'll be fine. Yeah. But I could probably do without the beer.
Yeah, I think your body's just telling you, hey, a case of IPAs is now half a tank of gas. So you can fare a little better than some IPAs. What about you, Andy?
I'm the same. I'm going to fish the breakfast sandwich. I just love breakfast, so that is a must. I'm going to box the snacks because usually I leave them in the truck when I buy them, so they don't even make it to the boat. And then the beer, usually when I get home, if you said coffee after fishing all day, probably would have went coffee over beer. But the beer, I'll just fall asleep if I drink one after fishing because I'm already exhausted from leaving all of my calorie intake in the truck throughout the day. So
the weirdest thing is linking up with Andy to go fishing in the morning. And it's like, I might have a Yeti, or if anything, it's like an energy drink for going fishing. And he's got like this bougie freaking like mug of his fancy coffee in the morning as he's like pinkies out driving with his coffee to the ramp. It's the most weird dynamic.
I can't drink coffee before I go fishing. That's not a good thing.
Because otherwise, no. It's going to come at like 8 o'clock. So I need to get it out.
Coffee.
I'm trapped in waiters, man. I can't be doing that.
Man. Coffee's a natural diuretic, man. You got to watch out.
Oh, I can drink like 7 cups of coffee a day. We're good.
Yeah.
Nope.
I'm a big coffee guy, but like to Andrew's point, like if I'm going fishing or like I'm going scouting and like hunting that day, like it's energy drinks for me. It's
dangerous game.
It's funny you Bailey, you're mentioning about Andy's got that little pinky out. If you've ever taken, you know, your significant other, your wife, your spouse, whatever, to a Starbucks or a Caribou, when they walk in, when you watch all the women walk into the coffee shop, they're like on a mission. And then when they come out, it's like double guns, got my coffee, strutting. You know what I'm talking about? And it's like, you look at guys and guys will hold a coffee cup like this, right? But the girls, they got to show it and they got to strut it. Yep.
It's all the single ladies. They're showing their name off to everybody. That's
right. Your hero shot.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Yeah. So true. It's terrible. That's so true.
All right. Here's another one for you.
Oh, man.
So we got oatmeal cream pie. the zebra cake, and then the Christmas tree brownie. This is a little non-sponsored segment from Lil Debbie.
I see you tagging on Instagram. Hey,
Lil Debbie followed us back on social. So
that's awesome.
Thanks to whoever works at Lil Debbie that listens to this or has the plug. Appreciate awesome. The follow back.
One of the Can you imagine just like a Lil Debbie wrapped boat?
That'd be incredible.
Dude, that's what we're...
all your competitors hungry. At
oh,
that
man.
Point.
It's just the zebra cake like stripe down it.
Andy, we were talking about this with we had Jake Maddox and Julius Maisie on. Yeah. We were talking about that. We're like, could you imagine a Little Debbie title sponsor boat wrap?
That would be amazing.
It has to be one of the best ones. Like, zebra, if you have that
zebra cake front half, cosmic brownie back half, like, or giant Nutter Butter, like
Nutter Butters.
So see the thing, yeah. Well, what do you got, Andrew? Before we go down that rabbit hole.
I'm going to trash the oatmeal cream pie.
We can't be friends anymore.
Just because of the three that are on here. Like, I'm not saying, I've never turned down an oatmeal cream pie in my life. But of the three, it's getting trashed. I would say I'm probably boxing the zebra cake, and then I'm fishing the Christmas tree.
Dang, big on the Christmas trees, eh?
Oh, dude, the Christmas tree. You're talking about the one that's like the cake in the middle, and it's got like the little... Yeah, it's like almost a zebra cake, except it just tastes better because it's in the shape of a Christmas tree.
Well, there's that one, and there is the actual brownie one, too.
Oh, I'm talking the one that's like the... It's kind of like... You're talking a brownie? That changes everything if it's the brownie.
They're interchangeable at this point.
If this is the brownie, I'm changing it, then. I'm going... I'm fishing the zebra cake. It's like the cosmic brownie is just shaped like a tree.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then it's getting trashed. And then I'll box the oatmeal cream pie. It's back from the dead.
I forget that they had the Christmas tree zebra cake version too.
Those are
dynamite.
Yeah. So those are chef's kiss just because they are. They're literally just a zebra cake, except they're shaped different and they taste 10 times better.
Oh, yeah. It's like when you get the Reese's, right? The peanut butter Easter eggs,
yes.
Christmas trees, they taste way different than the cup itself. And you're like, nostalgia. Like,
dude,
I don't know why it tastes different, but it's so good.
Who was it? I think it might have been Schlopper. Did like, he was just in his truck one day and he was coming out of like Farm and Fleet and he just turned on his iPhone and was like, all right. And his, you know, how he's got his little accent. He's like, today we're going to do something we haven't done in a while today. I picked up some Christmas tree cakes here. We're going to do a little review. And he just starts pounding a Christmas tree cake. And he's like, yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, I'm just in the truck eating Christmas tree cakes.
Schlapper's got to be the one guy, man. I wish he would just let loose and just let his whole personality shine. I feel like he's bottled up. He's probably one of the most funniest guys on tour.
I'll have to send it to you after this.
It was I think it was Toledo. He's like, well, I don't know what the hell I'm doing out here, but we're doing it, boys.
Yeah, we're doing
it. It's awesome.
Yeah, I think it was the Kelsey brothers on their New Heights show. They were talking about exactly that. Like Jason was saying, he's like, yeah, he goes, the Christmas tree shape Reese's cups are way better than the normal cup. And Travis is like, dude, it's the same thing. He's shape's different. It's way better.
Shapes matter. That the Easter egg one, yeah, like they're all better. Pumpkins, they do the pumpkin ones around pumpkins, Halloween.
Those are
legit
too.
The only thing that's crazy now is those little ones. You go like a little checkout counter or whatever, they're like $1.30 or something this little like bite thing.
I was just having this conversation with the wife because my daughter loves like quarters and stuff. Whenever she does like picks up things around the house, we give her a quarter. Is like good faith, like great job, here's your allowance. But I looked at Amanda, I think it was tonight actually, and I was like, hey, do you remember you used to be able to walk down to like the grocery store or like the convenience store and buy like little pieces of candy and you could get like 20 of them for 25 cents? And she's like, oh yeah, I remember that. I was like, yeah, this girl can't even buy a pack of gum. Like
tough times.
Yeah. I can't say I've seen that in such a long time, like the ability to go and get candy out of those things.
At our like Kroger growing up, we used to take 50 cents and you could get a Kroger version of whatever pop you wanted. They had like a vending machine with their Big K stuff in it, so you could get a pop for 25 cents and then you could go in and you could get like whatever it was, Andy, like, you know, 10, 15, 20 pieces of candy, and you get to pick out the individual candies. It makes it sound like I'm from like the 1910s, but this is really what it was. And you go with 50 cents and it was just like the coolest thing ever.
We used to have a convenience store down the street from the house I grew up at, one of the houses I grew up at, and you could go and they just had bulk candy in buckets, and it'd be like all labeled different like amounts. Some would be a penny, some were like 5 cents, some were 10 cents. You could walk in there with 25 cents or 50 cents and literally like walk out with a pack of like the fake cigarette candies.
Oh yeah.
And like big chew, and, like just have a time looking all cool walking down the street, fake
beef fake jerky in the can. Yeah, yeah. Walking around. Yeah. Total degenerate kids with fake cigarettes, fake dip. And yeah.
Jerky chew, man.
Times have changed.
You guys, were you guys ever fans of Laffy Taffy?
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Laffy Taffy used to have those long, tall ones you get for like 25 cents a pop. You walk in with a dollar and come out with four of them that are about a foot long each.
Yeah.
That was legit.
Oh, yeah.
What was
kids
it?
Will never know.
Was the Runts? Is that what the thing, the candy?
Oh, the ones that were shaped like fruits.
Yeah. They would be like in the machine that you'd have to put quarters in and then twist them out. And it was all like just candy stacked together and going down this metal that every other person did.
Yeah.
Like, I credit that.
That was back before germs.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's why my immune system is amazing. It's from doing that all the time.
Probably some of that candy in there too is like 4 years old at times. Like, depending on where you went.
Comes out all crushed and gross. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, because it'd be like outside too. So, like in the summer, you know that stuff.
Yeah.
Sucks. Oh, it's
baking.
Baking. The glass bowl.
Right next to the machine that you could get, like, for 50 cents, the picture or the sticker of SpongeBob as a gangster.
Yeah.
Like, remember those? For some reason, there's Thug Life, Squidward, and SpongeBob over here at the vending machine.
That's awesome. Those are the ones you had to, like, push in and not.
Yeah.
You got to line up your quarters.
Yep.
Absolutely. I think what the kids nowadays missed out on are Pop Rocks. You guys remember Pop Rocks?
Pop Rocks are great.
Drop them in and you'd sit around like just, letting them pop in your mouth for minutes at a time.
You put Sprite in your mouth and swish it all together and it would just like explode.
Yeah, you have Pop Rocks and then the ones that you could throw at people's feet, the ones that you could buy right next to the Pop Rocks.
Oh, yeah. Little TNT things.
Yeah. The snappers.
See, this is when people say on social media, they're like, why are men so easily amused? This is why.
Absolutely.
Yep. We used to take Pop Rocks and throwing snappers.
What was the medicine? Alka-Seltzer? Is that the one that was a little tab? We used to play a game where we would put an Alka-Seltzer in our mouth and you would drink Sprite and you would swish it and you could see who could keep their mouth closed the longest before it exploded.
Now you just do it Mentos.
Yeah.
Mentos and Diet Coke.
Yeah.
There you go.
God. Good Lord. All right, back to the topic.
Back to Little Cosmic Debbie.
Cosmic Brownies.
Yeah,
Little Debbie.
We got out of the rabbit.
Gotta get the plug in.
All right. For me, I think I grew up on oatmeal cream pies. I'm gonna have to fish that one. I think the reasoning behind that is it's a little more solid. It's gonna sit in your stomach, keep you full longer. So while you're fishing through the day, then you box the zebra cake. Because whether or not you have a good day of fishing or a bad day of fishing, you got a zebra cake to look forward to. And then we'll probably trash the Christmas tree.
Trash the Christmas tree. This guy says he gave his dog Pop Rocks once. He was confused. So, but he's a lab, so he'd eat anything. That's funny.
That poor dog.
Yeah, I'm directly in line with you on that, Trevor, 100%. Yeah. Andy, what do you got?
I'm going to fish the zebra cakes because zebra cakes are amazing. I'm going to box the cream pie and I'm going to throw the brownie. Toss it out. Yeah, I'm tossing the brownie.
Same. All right. So next one we got is JDM tackle, club bass jerseys, and fishing from the bank. Andrew can't even keep it together.
I don't know if you could pick three more opposite things.
Yeah. Not even close.
This is what happens when you get Andy on this topic.
I don't think anybody that's ever worn a club jersey ever throws JDM.
That's right. You don't like your guy at the Tuesday Nighter with the $15 Bass Pro Shops jersey that got in the mail?
That says Striking, Lose, Evo Garcia.
Yeah.
Jackal.
Yum.
No, my favorite are the ones that would say, like, because they don't understand how it works, it would say Abu Garcia and Strike King. It's like, no, you would probably either be Abu Garcia and Berkeley or Strike King and Lose.
Well, then you get guys with three of the same brands on there.
Well, yeah, that too. Okay, what are they? The JDM club bass jerseys, fishing from the bank. I have to fish from the bank because I fish from the bank. So that's us. Literally, it's so I have to keep that one. I would box JDM and I have to trash club bass jerseys.
I think this is gonna be the popular answer.
Yeah.
It's called the Andy wildcard when you ask him to submit to these.
Yeah, I think go ahead.
I was trying to think. I was like, I know Hayes is a bank fisherman, so how can I make him talk about this? And I was like, I'm going to put three really random things together, and this will work.
Just wait for the next one.
Oh God! I'm gonna fish the JDM. I'm gonna box the jersey and never take it out of the box, and then I'll track bank fish.
Lock the box.
Lock the box and throw away the key.
Oh man, that's good.
That's incredible. All right, Andy.
All right, I'm gonna fish the JDM baits. I'm gonna box the shore fishing because I do enjoy that from time to time, as I do it all winter long. And then I'm gonna trash my club jerseys.
Your club jerseys? Do you have any?
Oh, I got some.
Yeah.
Andy was the Wu Tungsten and
yes.
No, I actually do not have a Wu Tungsten jersey, to be honest.
What was
but did you have a code though?
Oh yeah. Everyone has a code.
Awesome. Yeah. And full Wu 20? What was it?
Oh, probably something like that.
Andy was like he had all the stones. He was Thanos with the six gill Wu Tungsten. Oh, yeah. Like he was all of it.
Hey, six gill story was a friend that was in their PR department that I fly fished with, and he's like, hey, can you try these out? Like, and then they blew up to be Wu Tungsten. So I was like, yep, I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Good times.
All right. Here's the next
good times.
Good times.
Young. What are you doing, Bailey?
For what?
That question.
He's totally wearing his club jersey while he fishes.
Yeah.
I'll call myself out. I definitely did that a Tuesday nighter when I was like 17 in high school and was given a jersey.
Okay, totally, but if you're 17, I'll give you a pass. Once you start being able to vote, you can't do it anymore.
Well, it lasted a good like 2 minutes and I pulled up the ramp and one of the guys that I fish with locally, he's like, hey, nice jersey. And like, asking me about it. And I just took it off. It's like, okay.
It's like being in college and someone like making fun of you for wearing like cargo shorts or having your lanyard sticking out or something. You're like, okay, I guess I'm going to take this off now.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Safety exactly.
Nice belt, buddy.
Yeah.
I think on that one, I'll fish the JDM box bank and then, yeah, ditch the bastards, the club jerseys. Okay, this next one's gonna be fun. So we got Justin Bieber, Jake Paul, Randy Blockett.
Ooh. Look at Andrew's face.
Oh no! Oh.
Oh man!
Oh. Can you trash them all? What if I just don't want to do any of them? I'm gonna trash Justin Bieber.
Woo, coming in hot.
I have to. I guess I'm gonna box Jake Paul. I don't. He boxes. I mean, he's literally gonna box Mike Tyson in a couple months. I saw on my Facebook.
Gag was the best one.
And then I guess I'm fishing Randy Blockett. Randy Blockett at least fishes. Used to. I don't know if he's still fishing. All I know is he drives his truck now and makes videos. That's all I know that he does. That's where I'm going, I guess. I don't see another route here.
I don't know what I was getting into, putting that one on there, but it's like, let's leave it.
I don't feel good about it.
Man. Oh, gosh. All right, Trevor, if you want to go.
Man, let's see. Because, like, I don't know, with the Biebs is like hit or miss, I feel like. Block it, you know what you're getting. Jake Paul could be entertaining, yet could be just
yeah
a horrible decision as well. can we just lock them all in a box and throw away the keys? Yeah.
Could you imagine those three at a dinner table?
Auto-tunes ruining singing.
Yeah, that's right. Keep fighting the good fight.
Yeah.
Let's see. We'll fish with the Biebs. We'll box Jake Paul, and because we know what we're getting with Blockett, we'll trash him.
Yeah. I'm with it.
Yeah.
What you got, Andy?
I'm going to trash Jake Paul. I just don't find him entertaining or amusing, really. I don't pay attention to him. I'm going to box Randy because if I need a fishing partner, well, at least it's Randy. And then I'm going to fish with Bieber because he plays hockey, and I think it'd be fun to talk to him about hockey. So,
isn't he Canadian?
He is.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
One of my favorite pictures of Bieber is when Chris Pronger checked him into the boards at the All-Star game. And Pronger was like laughing, smiling behind it. And Bieber looked like he was getting smushed like a mouse.
Oh, yeah. That picture is hilarious.
It's such a good one.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to trash Bieber. I just can't stand the guy. I don't know why forever. I just can't. Very anti-Bieber. I'm going to box Randy because I can't take it anymore. I'm going to fish Jake Paul.
Are you going to black box Randy?
Yes. Yeah, there you go. I like your plan. Nice.
Am I the only one that fished Randy?
I think so.
Yeah.
No, the competition is Jake Paul and Justin Bieber, and the only one that fished Randy Blockett?
The way I see it is...
social media, right? Like, if you go out with Jake Paul or Justin Bieber, you're probably going to get more follows than Randy Blockett. So that's the way I was looking at it.
You're going for the clown.
I'm just
going
to do something stupid and, you know, like, throw him in the lake, and then I'll just get a bunch of media attention from doing the Jake Paul.
You're going to see Bailey on TMZ. Yeah.
Right.
That's right. Push a star boxer in lake off a kayak. That's
right. I would just love to know, like, How much are you going to pay Mike Tyson to let you beat him? You guys seen that? He's fighting Mike Tyson?
Yeah, like 40 years past his prime.
Yeah, Mike Tyson's like 60.
I don't know if he can swing a right arm anymore.
I don't know, man. When he fought Roy Jones Jr. a couple of years back and he was training for it, and man, you watch some clips of Tyson, he still looks kind of scary. I wouldn't
as well. How old is Mike Tyson? 57.
Yeah.
You're fighting a dude that gets the senior rate at Golden Corral.
Yeah. The amount of money that I would pay to have it be like a legit scene out of The Hangover where he just straight up starts the round, just cleans Jake Paul. That would be, I think all of us men just need to watch that. we just need
it could happen. Or he's going to bite his ear off.
That might be a stat line you can bet on.
It probably is.
We just need that. We need that as men.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
All right, getting off that soapbox. Back to fishing. We have the tube, the finesse swim bait, or a drop shot.
This one's easy for me. I am trashing drop shot. We don't fish drop shots like around here almost at all. I'm fishing the finesse swim bait for sure, and I'm boxing the tube. Finesse swim bait around here is like, if you're not going out with, you know, a little like, you know, quarter ounce, eighth ounce head with a little paddle tail swim bait on the back, like just the way that we fish in the water that we fish, not going to be a good day if you don't have one with you. Tube is slept on around here. We have a lot of guys around here that keep it kind of hush hush that smoke fish on tubes, but it's not the popular thing to do. Most people around here, Neds and, you know, finesse jigs and stuff like that. But tubes straight up get bit, so that's still got to be in my box, and then I can do without a drop shot. So I know you guys are going to be different just because of where you fish, but that one's an easy one, I think.
I'm with it. Trevor?
Got to fish the paddle tail swim bait. Got to box the drop shot. I can trash the tube. I don't throw a tube at all. If you kind of craw tube, I guess, we flip that a little bit in the grass, but if you're talking just a standard tube on around rocks for smallmouth and that sort of jam, I don't do that much.
I'm totally with you on the craw tube.
So Andy? Good. Oh man, this one's tough because I do all three of them a ton. Probably gonna fish a drop shot because that's what I do like 95% of the time after June on Erie. If I'm guiding, can I do like a wild card here? If I'm guiding, I'm gonna have a tube, I think. But if I'm out fishing myself, I'm gonna box a swim bait. So I'm gonna box a swim bait and trash the tube. Yeah, that's where I'm going. Sorry. You damn you and your Jeopardy music.
You have a soundboard?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I just some days it decides to work, some days it doesn't.
It's genius. What else is on it?
I don't even know. I think I might still have like our Christmas show, like the Grinch shit on here.
He's got you can find Bieber. Out
if you want.
Oh, do it. Just send it.
All right. Yellow, green, or blue?
Blue. It's good.
What is that from?
It's from the Grinch, man.
Oh.
All right. I don't even know if we want to go down that. That I don't know what else is on here.
Oh, man. That's good.
All right. We capped off with Andy. Yeah, I'm going to – I got to go with Trevor's lineup here. Definitely fish a swim bait. Actually, you know what? I'm going to trash the drop shot, and I'm going to box the tube. Definitely going to box the tube.
Do you guys still do the little deal up there where you take, like, little – finesse swim baits and put them on like a little like naked football head up there and crawl them around?
Yes. I don't know what you're talking about.
Blink twice.
Nice.
Blink twice if you need help.
Yeah. No, it's, I feel like it's a pretty popular thing.
Kyle Patrick.
Point taken. Never mind. I retract.
If you don't know what you're doing, just...
Yeah. I feel like that's pretty popular up here now.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay. Here's another Andy special. So prepare yourself.
Oh, I don't remember what I sent you anymore.
That's the best part about it is you forget half the shit you said. So we got Waffle House, Denny's, or White Castle.
Ooh. Oh, this was going to be easy until you threw White Castle in there. You trash Denny's. And if any of you say anything else, I don't know if we're friends anymore after this. I say you box White Castle and you fish Waffle House.
Okay. What do you got, Trevor?
I'm gonna fish gonna do it. White Castle and go for it, even though it's gonna hurt on the way out. I've never had Waffle House, so we're gonna box that and save it for later. And we're gonna trash Denny's for sure.
Yeah. Nice.
All right, Andy.
All right, I'm going to fish Waffle House because every time I've been, it's been just a surreal experience, and it's usually in Ohio. So, and then I'm going to box White Castle because I've yet to go to it, and then Denny's is just bad, so trash Denny's.
So, I've only been to Waffle House once, and when we went there, it was... It was a Texas Waffle House because it was a Ray Roberts classic. We were coming back from launch. It was, I think, five of us. We go to this Waffle House. And we had some drinks the night prior, and we had to get up early for the classics. We're like, can you get us some water? And the lady comes, we don't have any water. We're like, doing a double take. They're like, you don't have water? We're like, yeah, we haven't had water for the past week. I'm like, where the hell am I?
Waffle House, baby.
Waffle House, baby.
We have coffee and sweat.
I think half of us had hair on our food, so it was. I don't know, man. I've had more pleasant experiences at a Denny's, so I'm gonna have to trash the Waffle House, and I'm sure I'm gonna get a lot of hate for that.
It's just an experience.
Yeah,
it's great food where you can go and you can watch some like
chaos
convicted felon scramble your eggs with his bare hands and give them to you, and they're the best scrambled eggs you've ever had in your life.
I don't know about all that.
And he didn't wash his hands after he went to the bathroom.
Yeah. I don't know. The Denny's I've been to have been rather at least clean up my neck of the woods. So I might
the only thing Denny's is ever good for is that video on YouTube where the kids have the screamo band and they're like, what the F is up, Denny's? You ever seen that video?
We had a Denny's right down the street where I grew up, and that was like our drunk hangout at like 2 a.m. We'd all just walk to Denny's and go in there. The one party, we left two people there because they fell asleep, and they were still there when we went back for breakfast in the morning.
That's amazing.
They're like, oh, you're back for your friend. We're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, we came back for food. Yeah. We're just so happy to be here still.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to fish the Denny's. And I'll box the White Castle. Although I don't even know if I've been to a White Castle, to be honest.
White Castle is
amazing. Chef's kiss.
It's great going down, but it hurts coming out.
How many White Castles do you think you could eat in a sitting if your life depended on it?
Like, you talking sliders?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I could do a Crave case for sure.
I think I could too.
For sure.
Yeah.
You get some cheeseburger sliders, and you get a little bit of sriracha on there.
Yeah, a little variety in there. I had a friend in high school. This is a true story. The closest White Castle to us was about 45 minutes away, and he had White Castle for his graduation party, and it wasn't catered. Someone drove to the White Castle 45 minutes away with two big igloo coolers and bought all the White Castles and put them in the igloo coolers and drove them back 45 minutes, and then they sat on the table for like 3 hours, and everybody
had White Castle.
Yeah.
Good God.
And everybody had food poisoning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Busy bathroom. Yeah.
Hope they had an outhouse.
Good Lord. All right. What's on the nicer side of crappy food? Let's go with Popeyes, Chick-fil-A, or Bojangles.
Ooh, that's tough.
So I've never had Bojangles. So I'm trashing Bojangles. I'm boxing Popeyes. I'm fishing Chick-fil-A. The Lord's chicken cannot be beat. 17,000 cars in line. You're still through in 7 minutes. Like,
it's incredible.
They do it right.
And they say, my pleasure.
My pleasure.
That's right.
It's always a goal, too. It's like, how many times can you make them say it? You just thank them for everything. So it's like, can I take your order? Yes, please. Thank you. My pleasure. I'll take number one, please. Okay. Thank you very much. My pleasure. And you just say thank you like 12 times, and they just sit there and look at you like they know what you're doing, but they have to say
can't not.
They're being held at gunpoint, being like, say the thing.
By the Lord's good.
Yeah.
That's right. It's funny. You bring up Bojangles. I'm surprised that you guys are familiar with Bojangles. I have family down in North Carolina, so I have experienced the gloriousness of Bojangles. And our CEO at Omnia, he calls it Bojangles. And Bojangles. And the funny thing he says is that Bojangles is the only place, fast food joint, that you can go to where you're happy when they insult you about what you're ordering. And you can go in there and not know anything about it, and they're insulting you, and you're just loving it because of it's that experience with Bojangles. I'm gonna fish Bojangles because they've got much better sweet tea. I'm going to box. Oh, it hurts me to say this. I'm going to box Chick-fil-A because they got that chicken biscuit. Son. And then we'll have to trash Popeyes, even though I love Popeyes.
You ever had the little mini chicken biscuits for breakfast? The little like bite sized ones?
Nuh-uh.
Oh, they do them like for catering and stuff. And then I think they sell them there too, but they're just like the quintessential, like you just have one more and one more. And next thing you know, you've eaten 47 of these little things and you feel like you're going to vomit. They're so That's good. Awesome. They're just like the little chicken nugget inside of a,
oh, sure.
It's almost like a croissant. Like, you know, the things that you pop the little, you open it and you roll them up and you put them in the oven. That's kind of what they taste like. They're so good.
Sure. I need you to do that sound again for my soundboard.
Flaky, buttery goodness.
Yeah.
I love that he says Bojangles because I'm totally going to start saying that now.
Bojangles. So good.
Until it comes to the point where Bojangles themselves start saying Bojangles. I think we should do this thing.
Yeah.
It's good.
All right, Andy.
Trashing Popeyes. I'm going to box Bojangles because I've only had it once. And Chick-fil-A, but for breakfast, like the kryptonite for me at Chick-fil-A is the sauce. The chicken breakfast burrito. Incredible. But I think it's like a jalapeno, like pineapple salsa they give you to put on it. It's so good. So good. Yeah.
Pineapple jalapeno?
I think it's pineapple jalapeno salsa to put on your breakfast burrito.
If Chick-fil-A does it, you don't question it.
It's good.
That's fair.
It's good.
I don't know. When I go to Chick-fil-A, I don't mean if it doesn't, if it's not Chick-fil-A sauce, I ain't getting it.
Oh, I can drink Chick-fil-A sauce.
Oh, you couldn't.
Can I get a Chick-fil-A sauce milkshake?
Yeah, I'll take a large Chick-fil-A sauce, no ice.
My two pleasure. Straws, please.
My
pleasure. My pleasure.
Yeah. All right. On this one, I got a trash Popeyes. And then Bojangles, I've traveled south a decent amount, and it's become a mainstay. Now that Chick-fil-A's up in the north, it's lost its luster for me. So I'm going to have to fish Bojangles. I'm going to box Chick-fil-A.
Whoa.
I think you can make
this. I'm big on that sweet tea, too. Like, Trevor nailed that sweet tea.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. It's just so good. Just stick an IV in me with that sweet tea, man.
Yeah.
You know, the one issue I have with all these places and their sweet tea, though, is you have to ask it for light ice or no ice, because it's like 9 parts ice, 1 part sweet tea. And I want like some drink to go with my food, not ice. So I'm always like, can I get light ice? Like, and they're like, what?
Well,
he's on to us.
You got to understand that it's so concentrated. It's like a syrup. So that when the ice finally melts in there, it turns it into what it's supposed to really be.
No, I want the syrup. Like, just give me
diabetes
the syrup.
In a cup is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Diabetes.
Oh.
All right. So we got two left here. We got the Ned Rig, Wacky Rig, or Shaky Head.
Well, that one's easy for me.
Fish in the Ned Rig. Have to. I throw a Shaky Head more than I throw a Wacky Rig, but I have to box the Wacky Rig because those cover more situations. Like, I can use a Ned Rig and a Shaky Head a little bit more interchangeably than I can a Wacky Rig and a Ned Rig. So I got to go fish Ned Rig, box Wacky Rig, trash Shaky Head.
I'm with it.
Wacky. I'm going to fish a Wacky. The Wacky is the bait that qualified me for the Classic, so that's near and dear to the heart. Box the Ned Rig because a Shaky Head is almost the same thing. So I'll trash the Shaky Head. I don't throw a Shaky Head like ever.
AZ Bait says, "You Northerners and your Neds."
He's not wrong.
It's out of necessity.
Those Southerners and their Shaky Heads.
That, but I've seen a lot of Southern boys start picking up the Ned. Like, we got some, called my buddy Dylan from Georgia. He freaking throws a Ned everywhere. Straight fluoro, too. And I can't get behind this whole straight fluoro.
Dylan from Georgia, is that Dillon, too?
No.
Oh, okay. That's usually how Dylan from Georgia is spelled.
They do things different down there. But I don't know if you guys watch Damian Tao does I watch a lot of his videos on YouTube, and he's like, straight fluoro guy, and he's a freaking hammer
on a spinning rod.
Yeah, I can't. I don't know how the brain doesn't compute when it's like straight fluoro carbon.
Like, 10 pound braid, 10 pound braid, 10 pound braid, 10 pound braid.
When I first started bass fishing, like, braid wasn't really that much of a thing yet, right? In 2008, 2009, so everything was straight fluorocarbon, and it was hard to get good fluoro back then. It was Berkeley Vanish, 100% Trilene, I think. Red Label might have been just starting onto the scene, and it was straight on the reel. And as soon as you open that bail, it's like, phew. You had to open it up, pull it back behind the boat, like reel it on tight every 50, 60 casts, like cut everything off, pull it out. It was a mess.
It's funny you mentioned that. We got the show that Bassmaster put together when I won the bracket. I'm throwing a spinning rod, skipping Senkos and laydowns, and it's straight floral. And every time I watch it, I just cringe. I'm just like, dude.
You can hear like shooting out the guides, like exploding.
Yeah, you fire it out there, you watch, and it's like
a slinky.
You know, and it's just like, oh, what was I doing? You know, like the whole thing just springs out. It's like,
but braid wasn't what it is now. Like, you've had some braid, is Power Pro, and that was about it. And we're like, oh, you don't use that for bass fishing.
I think there's something to it to an extent. Like, I mean, I don't have a firm grasp on it, but like that Damien dude, he's used it in a couple different different scenarios, but he almost won the Bassmaster Kayak Championship at Chickamauga last year. He had, you guys will get this, straight fluorocarbon on a spinning reel. I think it was maybe 10 8-pound test with a Carolina rig.
Oh,
a finesse Carolina rig through timber on Chickamauga. I'll send you the video. It's crazy, but he
won. It works.
But it's also screams Chickamauga. It's the weirdest freaking lake in the country. But it just, like, I saw that and my jaw just dropped and I'm like, what? Like, I talked to some of my buddies that are fishing it and they're like, I lost from the beginning. I launched because this guy's doing this. They're like, I would have never in my life thrown a finesse Carolina rig on a spinning rod. It's basically like, what do you call it? What was the like the split shot rig? What was that called?
Is what I'm talking about. Rig.
Split shot rig. Yeah.
There was like another name for it, like the, not the Lindy. I can't, never mind. I don't know.
The Lindy rig was its Lindy rig. Own like drop down weight that was essentially like a teardrop, but it was like slender, kind of curved. That was for dragging like worm harnesses and not getting snagged.
Yeah. It's kind of a Lindy rig, if I understand it correctly. It's kind of like a Carolina rig and a free rig put together, in a sense.
Oh, okay. I got you. All right, Andy, what do you got?
I'm going to fish the wacky box the Ned rig because it's just a staple up here, and then trash the shaky head. I don't think I've ever fished a shaky head, to be honest.
All right.
Never. Oh, man. See, this is what hurts, because like a shaky head with like a little zoom trick worm on it, it's deadly.
Yeah.
Just put it on a net head.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
You can do the same thing with like hula sticks, right? Like big long bait on a net head and catch just as many, if not more, fish.
I don't know. There's something to the shaky head. You can beef up your line a little bit more. I don't know, but I'm trashing the Ned rig. I hate a Ned rig, but I'm going to box a shaky head just for like, I got on some pretty good bites. Now, speaking of Chickamauga, throwing a big Magnum trick worm on a shaky head and hitting them on 20-pound fluoro. But there's something so fun in the summertime, like once they start getting shallow, of like going hunting with fish shallow with a wacky rig. So I'm going to have to fish the wacky. I think everybody would probably agree on that in the country to fish the wacky. Although, to your point, Trevor, them Georgia boys might pick up that shaky head first thing.
Yeah, they like throwing them on them floating docks and cables and everything.
Yeah. All right. So driving to the ramp, we got, you going to fish, box, or trash country, rap, or rock?
Oh, God, that's hard.
I'm going to make a lot of people mad.
We're driving to the ramp in the morning, right?
Yeah, whatever. I mean,
like early morning, like 4 a.m., 5 a.m., dark out.
Your answer, depending on the time of
yeah.
day?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Give us a rundown then.
All right. Well, if it's early in the morning, I'm fishing rock, like blaring, keeping myself awake, like trying to get to the ramp, trying to wake myself up. I'd probably go country still second. I'd probably box country, trash wrap. But if I'm like in the evening and I'm going out to somewhere, I'm probably not like metalheading it up on the way to, you know, like a nice like 3-4 hour evening. Yeah, no. So I'd probably go country the first one. But most of the time I'd probably say I'm fishing rock, boxing country, trashing wrap.
With it.
I'm fishing rock, I'm boxing rap, and I'm trashing country. I don't listen to country at all.
Damn.
Like at all. I don't hate it. I don't dislike it. I just, it's, there's to me, there's really no draw to listen to country.
I'd say like current day country, like modern country. I'll agree. I hate it. But so, like some of that bluegrass, like that, that's where it's at. Like
I couldn't tell you the difference between the two.
Yeah. Country from like 2004 and on is just modern rock. Like, really, you can put the guitars and the drums and change the lyrics to rock music, and it's literally rock and roll.
Yeah, it's like pop rock with just like a very subtle mandolin in the background or something. Yeah. It's the same thing.
Yeah. It's so weird. And it's like, that's funny. Man. But give me some Alabama, right? Like, take me back. Yeah, like, good times. So can I fish all three because I have the most eclectic, like, music selection
ever? No, you need to choose.
Fudge. All right, I'm gonna fish rock. I'm gonna box rap as long as it's like early to mid 90s rap, the really good rap. And then I'm gonna trash country because it's more modern and I can't stand the new modern stuff. But yeah, I think that's where I'm going. But if it's like Garth Brooks and Toby Keith and Alabama, Brooks and Dunn, like I might have to fish that.
Yeah,
like it's tough.
Real country, how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with that. I'm gonna have to trash rap. Just not big in. I was back in college. I'm gonna box country and I'm gonna fish rock all times a day. Just lay the hammer on it. Like no decibels possible to go higher. Like it's all the way up.
You want to talk about eclectic music taste? I just went to two sides of my desk here, and I have signed CDs from Slipknot and Metallica. And then on the other side of my desk, I have a signed Bassmaster magazine with Brad Paisley.
That's fantastic. We would get along. We would get along finally.
Yeah.
And you got Billy Strings on your show all the time.
Yeah. It's all about variety, you know? Yeah. Bounce.
My eclectic radio, well, pan was it Spotify, will take you through an emotional roller coaster on a ride to the ramp in the morning. I think Bailey has laughed, sang at the top of his lungs, and maybe even cried in the passenger seat of my truck.
That's true.
On the way to a tournament in the morning.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, pretty bad.
I can't think by the time we get to a ramp. I'm just like, I don't know what to do right now. You put the boat in. I'm just gonna sit right here.
Contemplate life for a few minutes.
Yeah, just gonna sulk for a bit.
Yes.
Well, fellas, that wraps up our game of fish it, box it, and trash it. Appreciate you boys taking some time out to jump on here. I think we definitely had some fun conversation nonetheless. Oh, yeah. But these are ones, dude, like I feel like I could come up with a giant list and do these shows for hours.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But
for sure.
Nonetheless, appreciate you boys for hopping on. Is there anything before we wrap up here, is there anything the folks should be knowing what's coming up for either of you guys that they should look out for? Any shows coming up, Andrew?
I mean, yeah, we'll have one every Tuesday.
Yeah, I got regular.
I'll let you know what that Tuesday's episode is about Monday night at 9:30 p.m.
Nice. Nice. All right.
We got some cool ones coming up, but yeah, just keeping her steady.
Thank you, man. Trevor, anything?
Not a whole lot with Omnia. We're going to be at the Classics. If you guys are there, look for us. That's about
it. Yeah. Yeah, you guys have a full booth this year.
Yeah, we're partnering up with Aquaview and I think NBT and maybe Beatdown. So we'll be right next to like the icon boats and all that sort of stuff. So
sweet.
If you see us, come say hi.
Looking forward to it.
Wait, if you're near Icon, then you'd be right next to X2, I think.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Is that where you guys are going to be? X2?
X2 is going to be right near Icon. Yep.
Is that where you guys will be the most time?
For us, most part, yeah. We're going to have some shows there and then be going rogue a little bit, walk around. Of course, we'll be at the Omnia booth a little bit too. But for the most part, there's not a lot of our partners are going to be there. I know Hobie Eyewear will be there. We'll be mostly floating around and I'm looking forward to it. The Classic's always fun. It's one of the two or three times a year I get to go and see everybody that we talk to all the time on social media or have on the podcast. So, thoroughly enjoy it all, and I'm looking forward to seeing you down there, dude. Both of you, I guess. Actually, both of you. You both will be down there.
Yeah, last year was my first one ever, and I don't think I'll ever miss one again after going to it. It was so much fun.
It was a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah. Are you guys going to Redcrest?
No.
Okay.
No,
I'm sorry. I didn't.
No, we actually just talked about that with Kyle and Wesley earlier on the show, and it wasn't like we wouldn't want to be there. We definitely wanted to be there because they treated us amazing last year when we went, and they put us up. Joe and Charity over the MLF team, they're amazing people. It's just none of our sponsors are going, and back to back weeks, like we're paying out of pocket to travel these things, and it's just business decisions. We're still going to cover it next week, and I'll be rooting on some of our boys that are fishing it. But classic's classic, man. It's just facts. Yeah.
Classic. Yeah, that plane ticket to Tulsa drained your boy dry. It's expensive to fly into Tulsa. Holy moly.
You know why? It's because it's their spring break. Like 90% of the country's on spring break that week.
But who goes to Tulsa for spring break?
Tulsa?
Well, Tulsa's a layover destination for some airlines. So all airline tickets are really jacked up.
Man, I would take a layover in Tulsa and just not go on the next flight. Shoot, man. Every flight that I looked at is like layover in Denver, layover in Atlanta or something, and then go to Tulsa. Yeah. But.
Yeah, I mean, it was coming to the point where I'm sitting there talking with my boss, and I'm like, man, it might be cheaper for me to drive to this thing.
Like, honestly. Yeah, I looked at it too.
Yeah. Well, boys,
yep.
Appreciate you guys for hopping on and joining in here. Absolutely. Definitely going to get you guys back on for more of these, but appreciate y'all. Obviously, guys, if you live under a rock and you don't know, check out Tackle Talk Podcast. Does some amazing work over there, and Trevor will be getting you back on here, I'm sure, real soon.
Sounds good. Appreciate y'all.
All right, boys.
Awesome. Soon. See y'all.
Andy, I thoroughly always enjoy the fishing box attraction because definitely turns into some fun conversation.
Oh, man. That one got a little wild at times. That was fun.
It did. It did, but I think rightfully so. It'll be all good nonetheless.
Oh, my gosh.
Man, I'm looking forward to, speaking of the classic, I'm looking forward to going down there. Part of me wishes, that I was driving. If it wasn't so bumped together with all my other travel, I definitely would have thinking about driving so I could go fish along the way and things like that. But next year I'll be driving down to Texas for whatever.
Because you got
getting third at that Bassmaster Kayak event automatically qualified me for the championship next year, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Has me questioning if I want to go fish more of those events this year because of this year with the economy and things like that, just like saving money. But because you only need three events to enter the AOI race, and I'm like, a third, that's a great start to.
Yeah, are there any closer to home?
There's a Susky. That's why I'm thinking if I could try to make one, but the other ones I can make are like Gunnersville, Possum Kingdom, which is in Texas, which I love to go to because I love that lake, but it's a freaking 22-23 hour drive. So it's one of those things I just don't know yet. I think I'd have to ditch out in some local stuff if I went to the Gunnersville one. I've never been to Gunnersville. So it's just one of those things where it's like, AOI, I feel like it's something I want to be a part of and try to compete in. But I think I need to wait for a year that I'm better suited to fish a complete schedule. Whereas this year, it's like already qualified for the championship. Like that was a goal. I mean, really, I just wanted to go fish. Murray just seemed like a fun destination. And, it was cool that we qualified for it. Definitely going to fish the Susky event because it's in the fall too. So it's going to be a fun time. And the Susky
event.
So that place is always awesome. But now I'm trying to qualify for the Hobie Championship as well. So we got those coming up. We got the first one on Norman here in a month. So that's going to be going down that way, which is actually at this rate, it's funny how a 9-10 hour drive becomes nothing.
I know. It's
crazy. Yeah. It's like, oh, that's fine. I can drive that overnight. So I mean, it'll probably end up being like a work the whole day and start driving at 5-6 p.m. to start practice the next morning.
You're insane.
When you don't have kids, it's
you
can do those kind of things.
It's fair.
So, but man, that was a fun episode. Appreciate Kyle and Wesley coming on here. Definitely want to make that a thing throughout the season, get them back on as like a check-in point.
Yeah, and it's cool that they're rooming together, so it makes it a little easier too.
Yeah, who knows if they'll be rooming together at that point. They might kill each other about Airbnb rooms, but nonetheless, those boys are a good time. Looking forward to meeting Wes in person and rooting on Kyle in the Classic, and then seeing Andrew and Trevor at the Classic as well. It's going to be a good time. So, I'll remind everybody, we're going to be doing in-person shows at the X2 Power Booth at the Classic, but also in that booth, but also on me as well, we'll have a bunch of Sears Angler hats. So if you guys want to get some, we'll be handing them out to you if you come up to us, whatever. Say hello, chat, happily give out some Sears Angler hats. Looking forward to just being at the Classic, man. So it's just a fun time with everybody there.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a bummer. I don't have the captain or deacon with me, but
I still might make my way there. I haven't decided yet. So
you're a wild card, man.
I know.
You don't even tell me. You just like show up. You'll just be there. I'm like, oh, hey, Andy.
I'm trying to find someone to drive down with me. So if I can find someone to drive with me, I might make the drive.
Ford's going to make it there?
Yeah, it's all fixed for now.
For now. Till you drive to Tulsa.
Till I drive to Tulsa. I'm going to take the wife's car. Should probably kill me. It's brand new.
Wife and I just entered. She's looking at a new car now. So it's like, man. And then I got the green light to buy some other things, but we'll talk about that at a later date. But it's like we're making big moves, looking and getting out of
there. There's a house for sale, like 10 houses down for me.
Man, I think we've officially moved into that
going zone south.
Like, I think if we buy a house, it's not going to be in New York. I think we're in that state now. Yeah, so it's,
I don't blame you.
So. I might be pinging some of our listeners, viewers, if anybody's out, and I'll talk about that at a later date because none of it's concrete, but might be pinging some people about certain locations, what it's like to live there. But always taking recommendations because, like, she's a PT. She can go wherever. I can go wherever. As long as I got Wi-Fi, I can work there. Right. I just want to be near bodies of water, but. I'll at least say this. We're looking at like that Greenville, South Carolina area. I'd love to be near like Hartwell, awesome Murray, spot. All those places. Man, I don't know. Part of it's like they seem like super fun fisheries. So I fish both of them. I enjoy both. But also, man, I want to get some years in with spotted bass. I just want to learn them, you know, because those fisheries are changing a bunch. So I don't know. That's a whole another soapbox that we can save for another show. But
it's funny. Like Amanda and I talk about like the Classic at Greenville. And I think it's like one of our favorite cities that we've been to. There's just so much to do. It's so clean. All the food was great. Like it was top tier spot. Like
I think in a dream scenario is she finds a PT job she loves between Murray and Hartwell. Cause I think that's where I want to be right now. And then it works out too, because got family up near Raleigh and it's a eight and a half hour drive down to Florida to my parents. My brother's still screwed because that bastard moved out to Utah. But then like Rudd and all them, they're a 3 hour drive to Knoxville. Like it's kind of like the middle of everything, you know. Yeah. It'd be super nice. So, I don't know. We're going to see. I mean, life is going to happen as it will, but we're making it, looking at making moves nonetheless. Who knows? This is probably me going on here. I'll be in New York for another 10 years. Who knows?
I laugh. No, I'm just kidding. You won't be in New York another 10 years. You'll move when the time is right.
Yeah, so. I'm not even going to get political on it, but it's not easy for us in our stage. That's for damn sure. But, dude, great show tonight. Next week, we got another heater coming out for you guys. We're actually going to be live next week, I promise. we're going to be live on Tuesday night. And we got some fun guests coming up. We're going to try to get on Mikey Balls to join us for that show. If not, it'll be in the next coming weeks. We also have, oh my gosh, it's blanking me right now.
I hate it when that happens.
Shoot. I literally had it right. Either way, tune into the social. I don't want to pull it up right now because we have a few different things lined up for the coming weeks with Classic and everything like that. We are going to have the Monday of the Classic. We'll have our fantasy fishing show that Monday night. And then the Tuesday night, we'll have our live before I leave for the Classic. So maybe we'll try to, bring on somebody that is from that Oklahoma area that can talk to, Grand Lake, but also just have a fun game show as well that night. And then we'll go to the Classic and we'll probably have a sporadic schedule of shows throughout that week. Cause we'll do some on-site shows. With like Sean from X2 and some of the X2 pros, some different people around from the Classic and friends of ours that we'll try to rope into some in-person shows that we'll have on the road. So there's a good chance there's only two shows that week, or there could be seven. So either way, we're going to throw some out there, have some fun. Looking forward to that. Make sure you guys are following the Sears Angler social to keep up with all the updates on that. And then, I'm looking forward to Tuesday night's show because it's going to be a lot of fun and previewing Red Crest.
Yeah.
So it's got to think. Oh, yeah, Justin Sandel's got to be the favorite for that thing.
Oh, absolutely. Or Wheeler, right? Like
one of the two. Yeah.
Unreal.
Mr. Higgs is asking classic giveaway packages. You know what, guys? They're actually, you know, that's a great point. It's been hectic, you know, the past month or so with us all over the place, wrapping some things up from 23, but also making sure we're headstrong in the 24. We do have some big stuff to give away here soon. We have some Blackfish gear we're going to give away to you guys. So stay tuned to that because we're going to do some different giveaways throughout the year for Blackfish gear. And so again, make sure you guys tune in the shows. We'll announce it once we have those worked up, but then, be following us on social media. One of those things will be as well, if you want to get a head start on it, to enter it, is leaving us a rating and review on either Spotify or Apple Podcasts. That helps us out big time. And if you already got on there, you'll be entered into that. So, as well as I have not forgotten about the people that have sent screenshots about stickers. We are working on that. We just we're trying to have it not be like a really crappy sticker. We want it to actually be something you actually want to put on something. So don't worry. We have those saved. So if you did send a screenshot of putting a review on our show and send it to us either email or DM on social, we have it saved. I have a list going. So that being said, that's still going. That's going to be an ever constant thing. If you go and leave us a rating review, screenshot it, send it to us as proof, send us your address as well. And we'll send out some stickers and such to you guys as well. Much, much appreciated. But
absolutely, Andy,
great show tonight. Thank you again for holding down the fort last week. Much appreciated. What's coming up for Lure Lab this weekend?
Oh, funny. One of our guests that we just had on tonight, Trevor, is joining us Saturday. And we're basically going over all the different types of heads, baits, and even setups you can use to throw a Ned Rig. So we have a Ned Rig episode coming up Saturday morning.
Retro, as he ditched the Ned Rig. He ditched.
He's a Ned Rig fanatic up there. And I've talked to him quite a bit about it. He fishes a Ned Rig a ton. So it's like, oh, that'll be a good fit. Oh boy. So yeah.
All right. Well, make sure you guys tune into that on the Lure Lab. Links are everything down below. Folks, appreciate y'all. And we'll see you next Tuesday. Peace. Well, that was an awesome show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you can and your app allows it, please leave us a rating and review. It really helps us get seen more, which allows us to access more time and more variables to be able to bring to the show to make it better for you guys. So hope you enjoyed it. And if you did and you liked some of the things we talked about in this episode and want to check out our show partners, all of that is in every single show description. You can click down there. It's got all of our discount codes, all of our links to our show partners, where you guys can go and support the people that support this show and help us make this show happen. And of course, this show does not happen without you guys. You guys know we appreciate you. You're the Sears Angler fam. You're the reason we're here. Appreciate y'all, and we'll see y'all on the next one.